I feel good about this season. Everything is clicking. I feel athletic again. It's now or never for me this season.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com, and you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball. We're back to do another of the season preview podcast. Today we're looking at the San Antonio Spurs, a team that's going to look quite a bit different than what we've seen over the past couple of seasons. And to talk about everything regarding the San Antonio Spurs, I am joined by the host of the Locked On Spurs podcast, and that is Jeff Garcia. Jeff, welcome back to the show for what I believe is the third season in a row.
Yeah, thanks for having me back, and I'm ready to talk a brand new edition of this San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah, it is a different season. We all know that the drama from last season with the Kawhi Leonard stuff. We're not going to really be talking Kawhi Leonard today on today's podcast. We'll save that for the Raptors one. But let's start, Jeff, with the projected record of this team. Get it out of the way. You've gone for a 47-35 record for the Spurs. Vegas has got them hovering around that 44.5. We've seen some really odd and changing projections from different models. Some of them going under 40 wins. Some of them missing the playoffs. You've gone above the over. Underline. What's your thought process on that? Because I can assume, and you can correct me on this, it's the fact that you're replacing Kawhi Leonard, who didn't play at all last season, with DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, exactly that, Josh. And also, too, not to mention the loss of Danny Green and an underrated loss that really hasn't been talked about, Kyle Anderson.
Yeah, that's massive.
You put all that together, and the Spurs lost a heap of defense, a player who could do a little bit of everything, who saw a spike in his stats across the board. And of course, I'm talking about Kyle Anderson. Yeah, I've seen the projections for the Spurs records, like you mentioned, hovering around 47 wins. Actually got them around 50. I think they'll hit the 50 mark simply because any team led by Popovich, and if Manu Ginobili does in fact return or not, but if he does, for argument's sake, you put those two guys together on the court and, you know, that's just a heap of Spurs knowledge, a heap of playoff championship pedigree with those two. And not to mention as well, you got a DeMar DeRozan who admittedly is coming in with a major chip on his shoulder after the trade from Toronto to San Antonio. You couple that with LaMarcus Aldridge in the paint, looking like LaMarcus Aldridge of old last season, the rise of DeJounte Murray, and hopefully his direction will point upwards and not downwards into his third season. And an underrated pickup over the offseason, and a guy who might get the nod more so this season. I'm talking about Derek White and the addition of Marco Bellinelli to shore up that bench for San Antonio. But all in all, yeah, I've seen the projections. They got them high 40s. I got them at 50. I think the Spurs are going to make that playoffs once again and continue their streak of playoff appearances.
Now, the Locked On Podcast Network is undergoing some changes at the moment, and especially over on the NFL side of things. Locked On NFL is becoming the Locked On NFL of experts. Matt Williamson, who you may remember from his time at ESPN, hosts Locked On NFL, and he now has a brand new lineup. Every Monday, it'll be the Locked On Network's local experts, just like I do on Locked On NBA on Mondays, covering the biggest stories. And then Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus joins every Wednesday, and ESPN's amazing Mike Sando will join on Thursday. So make sure you're following Locked On NFL on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. You know where to get podcasts to get all of that amazing content. Now, Jeff, you're looking at the projected leading scorer for this team. I guess it comes down to two names, LaMarcus Aldridge and DeMar DeRozan. You've gone with LaMarcus Aldridge as your projected leading scorer on this team. I've actually gone marginally the other way with DeMar DeRozan. What makes you think that Aldridge will be able to maintain that same role he had last season? Because remember, that first year when he came across, he did definitely play second fiddle to Kawhi Leonard. He wasn't happy about it. He pissed and moaned behind the scenes a little bit about that. So do you think he's going to maintain that number one offensive option, even with DeRozan in the picture?
I certainly do, and I think everything begins and ends with LaMarcus Aldridge on both sides of the court. Defensively, they lost, as I mentioned, Kawhi, Danny Green, and Kyle Anderson. Somebody's got to anchor the paint. That's going to be him, LaMarcus Aldridge. And I think the offense is going to start with him. you know, he's a hot hand right now. His numbers spiked in his, I believe it was third season in San Antonio. Yeah. And DeMar DeRozan really hasn't played with a quality big man since Chris Bosh. And I think it'll be to DeRozan's advantage to maybe give up some touches and give to LMA in the post, simply because if he's cooking, teams are going to double team, triple team. And that just makes life so much easier for DeMar DeRozan. I expect DeMar really to think pass first when it comes to playing with LMA. And look, LMA is also smiling as well. The offense began and ended with him last year. Spurs players throughout the entire season were openly admitting, saying, we need to get him help and we're not going, you know, it's all on him. Now LaMarcus Aldridge doesn't have that problem anymore. He has a proven 20-plus point scorer a night with DeRozan. I just expect, knowing Popovich, his mentality, how he works, how he values guys who've been there, done that with him. LMA, and that's his guy. They gave him an extension last season. So, you know, he is the franchise player right now, and I think it'll start and end with him.
Let's go this way with Aldridge. He's 33. He's just turned 33. He averaged 23.5 last season. Do you think that he will match the 23 points that he scored per game last season?
No, I think that'll dip a bit. I see it hovering maybe around 20.
Yep.
I think he'll hit around there. Yeah.
And
around 20.
He was a guy that was a top 30 fantasy guy last season. So I think he was 26th, in fact. I think you'll be hard-pressed to see him repeat that level. I see him dropping down maybe 10 to 15 spots in that ranking level. Still going to be really strong. We know he's an excellent free throw shooter. He's got high field goal percentage. He blocks. It's not huge blocks, but he can still block some shots. The threes are pretty much non-existent from him at this point in his career, after a slight surge in those during his time in Portland that sort of disappeared in San Antonio. But he's still going to score. Just don't expect. He had a usage of over 29% last season. I don't think we can expect that to remain the same with DeRozan in town now either, do we, Jeff?
No, not at all. DeRozan will also get some of those usage percentages up for him as well in San Antonio. And let's not forget, too, the Spurs are high on DeJounte Murray, and they really believe that he is their future at that point guard spot. Tony Parker even admitted it before he left and signed on with the Hornets, saying that it was his idea that it's time for the kid to shine. So I think the Spurs are going to try to see a lot of the offense go through him at times at that point guard spot. So you're going to see a lot of spreading of the ball between those three players, in my opinion, heading into next season. You couple that, and hey, this is a good problem for the Spurs to have. And it's two established all-stars and an up-and-coming young kid who the Spurs are high on. Yeah, I think all three players will be okay letting each other share the load from time to time.
That was a beautiful segue, whether it was intended or not, Jeff. Let's talk about DeJounte Murray, who you labeled as your breakout player for this team. I think that's pretty much common sense. A guy who saw, you know, his first real extended role start of the season, was benched for Patty Mills with Tony Parker out, but then later on took that starting role back. He is a different point guard to lots of guys. He's not a high assist guy, but what he is an elite steals type player, one of the best rebounding point guards in the entire NBA, one of the best defensive point guards in the NBA. Can't shoot at all, doesn't really distribute the ball, but gets rebounds, gets steals, gets blocks, and has a decently high field goal percentage for a guy who can't actually really shoot at this point. Yeah, the three-pointers are an issue. He doesn't really take them. He doesn't hit them. 27% last season, a usage of just a tick under 20. But he only played 21.5 minutes per game last year and was the 177th ranked guy. I think we're expecting those minutes to shoot right up. But do you think, Jeffy, he is going to be a 32-minute-a-game guy or a 27-minute-a-game guy? You've already mentioned the name Derek White. There's Patty Mills there as well, who are both point guards as well. What are we looking at for Murray? Is it going to be still just, you know, easing him in at the 27-28, which is what he saw over the last 2 months of last season? Or is it just all systems going, it's bang, 32-33, Murray's running the whole show?
I think you're absolutely right. I think it's just all hands on deck, and it's Murray running the show. The Spurs are going to unleash him. I think not for them to say, you know what, Tony Parker, you know, we agree he is the future. And for Parker himself to say, look, you know, my time is done here. You know, I got to find something better, a bigger payday, more playing time. You know, the fact that he's saying, I think Parker is saying I can still play more minutes on the court just speaks to the upside that Murray has, and he was going to take those minutes from Parker. So I think it's, pedal to the metal next season with Murray, and I do expect him hover around 28, 32 minutes per game next season. Popovich is going to, you know, run him. But unfortunately for him, he has a guy like Patty Mills likely to back him up, or another point guard, as you mentioned, D. White, who had a phenomenal year in the G League, just and he always does in the Summer League, but it still hasn't been proven yet on the NBA level with consistent minutes. We've seen glimpses of what Derek White can do, especially last year in the postseason against the Warriors of all teams. He showed great signs of upside. Now the Spurs are going to see if he can go. But right now, as far as Murray's concerned, it definitely is pedal to the metal. Let's see what Murray can do.
Murray is a really underrated guy in fantasy as well. Yahoo's got him ranked as the 155th best player. He is considerably better than that. I don't think you should be paying. Look, he almost got to that level in 21 minutes a game last year. So
right.
I'd expect him to be a top 100 guy. I think he's got a shot at the top 70, maybe. And that's if the shot and the assists come around. Now, if he can get from 3 assists a game to 5 assists per game, he is a top 60 type of guy. He's an excellent mid to late round point guard with that upside. Because if you go from 0.2 threes to 0.6 threes, you go from 3 assists to 5 assists, you've already taken yourself up 20, 30 spots just on that in itself. With the extra minutes, he could average 8 rebounds per game this year. He could get your 0.8 blocks. He could get your 2 steals. And despite not being a great shooter, not actually be a massive, massive negative. No, he's not a Marcus Smart 38% field goal guy. He's a guy that can't shoot, but much like Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, he hits the shots that he knows he can hit, and that's 45, 46% sort of mark, which is totally fine and easy to work around. So I think that Murray is a tremendous value guy, especially on Yahoo. That rank is completely out of control. It shouldn't be that high or that low, depending on how you want to frame it, but he needs to be taken way before that. He will be in most cases, but he's I'd say almost a guarantee for the top 100 for this season. Now, Jeff, go ahead.
Oh, I don't want to interrupt, but a couple of more things about Murray before we transition. He has been focusing on his 3-point shot in the offseason. Almost all of any videos that he shares on social media shows him working on the 3-point shot. It's coming together. It's not the greatest shot, but I mean, he's knocking him down at least, and I get it. It is the offseason. It is the training. He doesn't have a defender in him. He doesn't have a coach screaming at him. It's not in-game situation, but at least he's aware of that's a big area that he needs to focus on. And two, I really think he might get a positive, if you will, effect from having a guy like DeRozan on his side on the court. I think that might help his game develop as well.
Yeah, I agree. I think that DeRozan thing will actually help him quite a bit. I think he can get his 3-point percentage up over 30%, only marginally, but I think he can get it up over 30% this season, and he is going to be a real value guy for this coming season. The two-way contract situation as it currently stands on this team, Jeff, they don't have anyone signed to any of these two-way deals, but there are a couple of options. Chimezie Metu hasn't signed for the team, their second-round draft choice from 2018. Jerome Blossomgame, who played for Austin last year and was their second-round pick in 2017, he's another option there. Has there been any whispers of guys they're looking to bring into camp or maybe sign to these two-way deals?
No, there hasn't been any whispers whatsoever at all. The Spurs keep things close to the vest, chest. They don't really let a lot of stuff out. And so, it's one of the things you just have to wait as training camp inches closer. Now, in my opinion, and the pulse of the fan, Spurs fans, that is they want to see Blossomgame get one of the two-way contracts. And the Spurs have a bevy of guards. You can't forget about Lonnie Walker as well, the rookie. But when it comes to size, I think that's the Spurs' biggest need right now, outside of LaMarcus Aldridge and Pau Gasol. I know that's pretty much it. You have Rudy Gay. You have a very thin Davis Bertans. They brought in Dante Cunningham, but it's still not enough. Now, what a lot of the pulse of the fans, what they see, and I kind of agree with them at times, is Blossomgame is just that do-it-all guy, that dirty worker dog on the court that is willing to throw his body on the court, mix it up in the paint and really throw his body around. He's a big guy. He's a really big dude. And he's proven himself on the G League level, but he really hasn't had a chance to shine. And I believe this year training camp, if he wants to nab one of those two-way contracts, he's going to have to do it right now, because I fear other NBA teams may swipe him up and add him to their roster if the Spurs don't really give him a chance. I'm not sitting here saying he's the next coming of an all-star or he's going to be the sixth man of the year award. No, but he's just going to be that glue type of guy that's just that every team needs. And but outside of him, yeah, I mean, it just also makes sense that maybe Metu may get one of those two-way deals. He's long, he's athletic, he has a lot of spring in his step. Exactly what the Spurs need in that paint next to a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge.
I'm higher on Metu than I am on Blossom Game. I think they've both got the opportunities to grab those two-way spots. But last year they had Matt Costello and Darren Hilliard in those spots. We barely saw those guys play. They played Costello played maybe four games he played, and Hilliard played 7 minutes a game across 14 games. So we barely saw those guys. I wouldn't be expecting huge use, even regardless of who gets that spot. I don't think we're going to be seeing massive minutes come for those players who are in that in those positions in San Antonio. Now, Jeff, let's change tack a little bit here. In terms of this team, you know, they're a team that lots of, you know, generally they stay out of the media, but last season was a little bit different. What's something with the San Antonio Spurs? I've got my own ideas on this, but something that is maybe a misconception, something that's misconstrued, something that's a little bit of a myth across the national perspective that you guys locally in San Antonio either get angry at or you laugh at that you know is not true.
I guess perhaps the obvious one, it's almost year in, year out, is that they're boring.
Yep.
The Spurs team is just very vanilla, very cookie cutter. It's, you know, same play over and over again and, you know, keep it, you know, something 100 points or less. No, that's not true. We talked about him a lot, DeJounte Murray. He's an exciting player. Obviously, DeMar DeRozan's in town now, so he'll be doing DeMar DeRozan things at the rim, which should bring an air of excitement to San Antonio. And I think if he proves himself and can get some minutes on the court, I think Lonnie Walker would bring a touch of excitement on the court, on both ends of the floor, that is, because this kid has the tools to be just exactly what the Spurs need at that shooting guard spot. Also, not to mention, too, Manu Ginobili, if he does come back, he still shows that he has Manu magic from time to time. Recall last season, that incredible Boston at San Antonio game. Overtime, Manu Ginobili nails the game-winning shot. The crowd is going crazy at the AT&T Center. This Spurs team is not boring. They're very exciting. And the fact that that the national media may not look at that, or other fans outside of the team don't see it, I actually think this sits well with Spurs fans, because they like being under the radar, so to speak. They want this team to just sneak up on teams and just wow them. So that's perhaps the biggest misconception about the Spurs for years now, is that they're vanilla, and they're actually not.
The one that I agree with that, they're not boring at all. Yeah. In fact, they were in that 13 to 15 season run, like those multiple years, they were probably the most exciting team, and they're the most fun team to watch in the NBA. It's eased off a little bit there. The game's not quite the same as it was then, but still, they are still fun to watch. But the one that I look at with this sort of thing, Jeff, is that everyone looks at it. I mean, I'm never drafting any Spurs in fantasy because Popovich just rests guys all the time, and it's just not true. Like, Aldridge played a ton of games. He played 75. Kyle Anderson, 74. Pau Gasol played. If you're going to rest anyone, you'd rest Pau Gasol. He played 77 games at the age of 38. We had Davis Bertans play 77, Mills 82, DeJounte Murray 81, Bryn Forbes played 80. Everyone played the games where they were healthy to play. Yes, Popovich did institute the modern thing that we do see now with guys resting, but people act like it was every second game that players were sitting out and they were playing 25 minutes a night. LaMarcus Aldridge played 34 minutes a night last season. No one else got to 30 minutes a game because they weren't good enough. And we had these guys where he was dealing with a patchwork type of roster to try and get the information or get the right combinations going. When he's got the good players, we're going to see Aldridge. We're going to see DeRozan play 33, play 34 minutes a night. They will rest if there's like a high low where they're playing four games in five nights or five in seven. And they might sit a game there. And if there's a little bit of injury, they'll be extra cautious with that. But people act like it's the case where these guys are just sitting, one out of every three games and everyone's playing 20 minutes a night. And it's just absolutely 100% not true. And it never has been. For some reason, that has been the overwhelming idea about the Spurs, and it has turned people off drafting a lot of these guys for that very reason. And just as I said, it just isn't the case. And I'm sure you can attest to that.
Yeah, this Spurs team last season, they were likely probably forced, at least Popovich was forced to play a lot of these guys, maybe not sit them out as much simply because, Kawhi Leonard wasn't in hand for all but nine games. So they had to lean on other players or players just to get bodies on the court. Also, too, they were hit hard with the injury bug last year. Rudy Gay, he had a heel bursitis that kept them out for weeks. You had Manu Ginobili in and out. You obviously had Kawhi Leonard. And then, you know, Tony Parker was still coming off that surgically repaired torn quad. That was 100 times worse than Kawhi's, Josh. Remember that? So, I think Popovich and the coaching staff were forced to have guys play more games other than resting. Now, who's to say Pop may not go to that next season if everybody remains healthy? Popovich is, as you mentioned, yes, he does have that reputation of sitting players out. Next season, it should be a grind, especially in the Western Conference. You know, that's going to be a gauntlet next season in the West. But one thing is for sure, a lot of the players, at least now, are saying they will obviously the right thing, but, you know, they want to come into camp healthy. Look at Davis Bertans. He told Team Latvia, the Latvian national team, he's not playing at all in any type of exhibition games leading up to the 2019 World Cup tournament this fall. Same thing goes for Marco Bellinelli. He declined Team Italy's invite. Rudy Gay, he was scheduled to do another NBA game, charity game. He declined that as well to end up the offseason. Why? Because they want to come in healthy. And that is a good sign for Spurs fans. That is a good sign for just Spurs fans in general, the NBA, to see a fully healthy Spurs squad on the court with new pieces like DeMar. Jakob Poeltl is another guy. You know, I think, you know, one thing that I've been hearing about Poeltl too is that he has tremendous upside, and a lot of, you know, media talking heads are saying the Spurs got themselves a gem if they fashion him right. He might maybe an impact player, especially in the Spurs system. I have to wait and see about that. I like what I saw in Toronto. We'll see what he does in San Antonio. But overall, you know, if the Spurs stay healthy, this is going to be an exciting Spurs team, a fun Spurs team. Yeah, Popovich will rest players from time to time. But all in all, I think the Spurs will be in the thick of it come late in the NBA regular season.
Now, I asked the question of all the hosts, Jeff, of most likely player to be traded, and you said none. Most of the time, I wouldn't let the co-host get off with an answer like that. But with the Spurs, they just don't make in-season trades. So I'm totally with you there. They just don't do it. They just don't make these deals.
They just don't.
It just doesn't happen. So I don't think we've got anything to worry about there. Let's talk about their draft. We've spoken about Chimezie Metu already. Lonnie Walker was selected at pick number 18, the highest pick the Spurs have had in quite some time, I think, since Kawhi Leonard, which, of course, was a trade to get that pick anyway. You referenced it earlier. I don't see how he's getting on the court this season. We've got DeMar DeRozan, obviously, starting at the two. You've got DeJounte Murray at the one. Then there's Patty Mills. Then there's Marco Bellinelli. Then you've got Derek White in that mix as well. Is Walker the sixth guard on this team? You can throw in Bryn Forbes as well. I wouldn't, because I don't think he's very good, but he's in that mix as well. So where does Walker fit in there?
Yeah, it simply could come down to a numbers game, and right now the numbers are not on his side. Popovich is obviously going to defer to the veterans of the squad.
I didn't even include Manu Ginobili in that list.
Yeah, exactly. The position that he's playing, it's tough for him. Look, he's eager. He's hungry. I spoke with him after he got selected by San Antonio in Brooklyn this past draft. He told me the right words, the buzzwords. You know, I'll do whatever it takes. I'll do what Popovich wants me to do, et cetera, et cetera. And that's great, but much like Derek White last season, Popovich told him he's going to get to know the end of the bench really well. Now, there is that one slot open left, you know, that one roster spot. I mean, could Walker get it? Yeah. You know, he could just be buried on that bench, learning, observing, and taking trips up and down to Austin and San Antonio. But right now, it's not looking good for him right now, not because of his talent, not because he, you know, is a work in progress or anything like that. He has all the right tools. He showed flashes what he can do prior to himself getting injured in the Vegas Summer League, averaging 11.5 points per game in four games played. But, yeah, it's just one of those situations for him, a numbers game. Don't be surprised to see him have extended time in Austin. But also, during the doldrums of the NBA season, perhaps an extended road trip, or garbage time, that's when Walker would get his chance to shine. And, hey, if Popovich does go to the rest of the player, especially that position, because they got a glut of the players at that spot, if I'm Lonnie Walker, I'm saying, hey, Pop, you can rest DeMar and Manu and Derek all you want. Let me in. So, yeah, I kind of agree there. you know, the players ahead of him, yeah, it's kind of tough. So, yeah, expect him to be in the G League for quite some time.
I think his numbers this year are going to be pretty ugly. I think he's going to struggle with efficiency. Yeah. He doesn't generate rebounds, assists, or steals. His percentages, I think that you're going to see that his field goal is under 40%. He's not an excellent free throw shooter, and he's just barely going to play. For some reason, on Yahoo, his ADP is 128. That is higher than DeJounte Murray, Rudy Gay, Pau Gasol, Jakob Poeltl, Marco Bellinelli, and Patty Mills, and there's absolutely no reason for that. He'll struggle to be a top 400 player this season. You know that I'm not as high on him for Dynasty. I'm not as high on him, obviously, as Jeff is as a player. I just think his overall fantasy impact is limited to him being a scorer, and then he has to become efficient at that because he just doesn't do anything else. He needs to find these other things that he can do. We'll see this year, but it's mainly going to be watching a lot of G League footage to see Lonnie Walker in action. I believe, just given those players that I mentioned who are clearly superior to him at this point, it's going to take a rash of injuries for him to really be pushed into the lineup. And even then, I think he may struggle in that role at this early point. Now, Jeff, you put out the projected starting five for this team. I don't think there's much argument here. DeJounte Murray, DeMar DeRozan, Rudy Gay, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Pau Gasol. But we haven't really spoken about DeMar. So let's talk about DeMar DeRozan. He was a guy, obviously, he came across in that Kawhi Leonard trade. The Spurs wanted an established all-star. They got an established all-star. He heads to this team now who is a team that plays at a slower pace than what he was used to in Toronto. Last year, he was the 46th ranked player in fantasy, playing 34 minutes a night and averaging 23, 4, and 5 with a steal, and hit a 3 per game, a career best in terms of 3-point shooting. I think that he's not going to be able to live up to that level of production this season. I think he sees a little bit of a dip in usage this year. The slower pace that San Antonio plays will also have an impact on him. And I think if for some reason Yahoo and ESPN have him ranked significantly higher than what his actual return was last year. ESPN's got him at 32 and Yahoo's got him at 35. So they're expecting him to get better than last season. I expect him to actually be a little bit worse in terms of production from last season. What do you see with him?
I see the exact same thing as you do. I see a dip in his numbers. I also see maybe his chances of being an all-star maybe coming to a halt.
I'd say so.
Halt. You know, yeah, I mean, with guys like Harden and Westbrook, Donovan Mitchell, you know, et cetera, all in the West, you know, he's going to have himself one heck of a season, at least half of a season, if he's going to get any type of all-star nod. Yeah, I mean, but I think it's a situation where he'd be glad to go have, you know, it's not like he's going to the Kings, it's not like he's going to the Mavs, it's not like he's going to some cellar dweller team. He's going to a championship pedigree team, and look, he's really had a taste of what it is to be with Coach Pop out in Vegas at the Team USA minicamp. Yeah, maybe it wasn't, you know, as structured or, you know, as NBA camp-ish as you want, but still, at least it's a good start for him. He's big-time friends with Rudy Gay. They go back from their days in Toronto. Same thing for Marco Bellinelli. They played together out with the Raptors. He's going out with Jakob Poeltl, a guy he's familiar with. So there'll be some familiarity there for him, a sense of comfort, a sense of belongingness, and that'll help him ease into his new situation in San Antonio. But with a player like LMA at his side, a guy like Murray, you know, the touches that they're going to have to give to Rudy Gay, yeah, his numbers are going to drop down, and I would not be surprised if, you know, he's actually below 20 points per game next season, maybe hovering 17, 18.
I've got him marginally above 20 at the moment in my projections, but if you have a look at what he did last season, his last half of the season, he played 80 games, so his last 40 games of the season, he was the 68th ranked player. I think that's basically where we should be looking at him in that sort of range for this season. He averaged 21 points per game in 33 minutes there. He only got to the line 6 times per game, whereas the previous two seasons he'd been at 8.7 and 8.4. And his main fantasy strength had always been high free throw percentage on high volume. And if you take 25% of the volume away from that, that cuts a lot of the value down. Now, if he is going to actually be the second option in San Antonio, which is a possibility, then he's not going to have as many free throw attempts. You're playing at a slower pace. The Spurs don't get to the line as often as other teams. So I think that if you're looking at DeRozan in that third round range, in that 30 to 35 round range, which is where ESPN and Yahoo both have him ranked, I reckon you're going to be pretty disappointed. In fact, he has never finished inside the top 40. So for both of those sites to expect him to get better and significantly better in what I think is a worse situation, it's quite curious to me, so I'm not exactly sure how that's going to play out in terms of, you know, where that value lies. I don't want, and I'm a big DeMar DeRozan supporter, yeah, have been for real life and in fantasy. I just don't know why, you know, we're trending back to, you know, pushing him way above where he'd been in the past. I just don't see that being the case.
I, Exactly. And the system that the Spurs run, it's not too much ISO ball.
Exactly.
They got to move that. They got to move that ball. If you're not moving the ball, Popovich is going to call a timeout immediately and pretty much open you up a new one, if you know what I mean. So that has, you know, that's got to factor into, you know, any type of dip in numbers in DeMar DeRozan's stat line next season. Again, it's not a bad thing. It's a great thing. It's going to be a great situation. And who knows, you know, maybe he's okay to not, you know, be relied upon as much as he was in Toronto to generate points with the type of player he has in the paint with LMA and at his side with Murray, and the list goes on and on in San Antonio. But yeah, you know, I think his All-Star days are pretty much numbered, if not maybe gone. There is going to be a dip in numbers. And let's not forget, too, learning the Spurs system is not an easy task. Just ask LaMarcus Aldridge in his second season in San Antonio when he wanted out, when he felt that he wasn't fitting in with the system, that he just didn't fit with San Antonio. And then look what happened in his third season last year. He blossomed and became an All-Star. Who knows? Maybe that could project for DeMar DeRozan down the road as well.
Let's talk about the guy who's going to be starting next to him at the three, and that is Rudy Gay. He's second season after Achilles surgery. He only played 22 minutes per night last year. Kyle Anderson had the starting role ahead of him and frankly outplayed him for majority of last season. Gay wasn't terrible, and he did say, you know, he's feeling back and more athletic. But when you're 30 years of age, which Rudy Gay is, actually, sorry, 32 years of age, your athleticism doesn't get back. Regardless if you had an injury or not, you don't all of a sudden get more athletic at the age of 32, irrespective of having one of the more debilitating injuries in the sports world in terms of a torn Achilles tendon. Now, in saying that, Gay is going to play more minutes because there is literally no other small forwards on this roster apart from him. So he is going to be playing 30 plus minutes at the three. He's ranked on Yahoo at 169th. He will probably cut that number in half. He is, I think, a guaranteed top 100 guy. But if you go back and look at some of the past rankings of Rudy Gay, like 153rd last year, fine. Makes sense. For some reason, Yahoo has him ranked lower than that, despite the fact that he's going to play significantly more minutes. But the previous three seasons, 29th, 43rd, and 20, he's probably not going to get back to that same level. But he's always been an excellent rotisserie guy who can help you a little bit, give you average numbers in rebounds, assists, steals, blocks, mid-area in free throws, mid-area in field goal percentage, pretty good scoring, hit some threes. He can do all of that. The three-point shooting fell off a cliff last year in San Antonio. Again, some of that's to do with lift from the Achilles injury, but I think he's going to be a bit of a surprise packet this season, but also not back to Sacramento Rudy Gay.
The fact that he is pretty much it when it comes to the small forward spot for San Antonio worries me.
There's no one there. Unless they're going to play Bellinelli, there's no one that plays the three.
Exactly, and that worries me in the sense of his usage. Are they going to rely on him so much that maybe that injury, you know, flares up again? Another thing, too, is it's a huge worry. And then if they decide to, you know, we're going to send him out for this game and we're not going to bring him in for this game, rest the day, you know, who do they fill in? You mentioned Bellinelli. Okay, I guess, but he's going to get abused.
They just have to shift DeMar.
This is where a lot of, you know, where I mentioned earlier on the show, where I tend to agree with some Spurs fans that if they are going to give a two-way contract, maybe to Blossom game, maybe because he could fill that role. But then again, you know, he's not proven on the NBA level. There is that 15 slot left on the roster right now. My opinion is the Spurs will probably seek out a player to fill that slot at his position. Now, there is Dante Cunningham. He could come in and fill that role. But again, you know, it's just,
he's not really a three.
Yeah, exactly. So that is the biggest weakness the Spurs have right now. So if I had to put my money down, that 15 spot, it's going to have to go to a small forward.
So what that does, it just gives Rudy Gay, look, he's a guaranteed starter. He's getting 30 plus minutes and he's going to beat that rank. Absolutely no doubt. And I talked about Yahoo having him 169th. ESPN's got him 264th. It is as easy money as you'll get. He is a perfect late round pick. There is almost no downside to taking that selection unless he gets injured again, but you just have to take him in that spot. He is an excellent option there. The last guy in the starting five at this point, in our projected starting five, is Pau Gasol. Jeff, he played 23 and a half minutes per night last year, was the 119th ranked player, averaged 10 and 8, blocked a shot. Wasn't able to continue the 47% three-point shooting or 50% three-point shooting he had the year before. That dropped down to a still respectable 36%. But with the age of Pau Gasol, he's just turned 38. I expect, personally, those minutes to come down even further, especially with Jakob Poeltl coming in and being a guy that I could see at times them starting him over Pau, or they could go to that lineup that they went a little bit more last season if they had more wings on the roster, where Aldridge starts at the five, you put Gay at the four. The problem is you just don't have anyone there unless they're going, they want to start Paddy Mills at the two and DeRozan at the three, or Derek White really steps up. That is option. So to boil down a really long-winded question, do you think Pau Gasol's minutes go down this season?
Oh, yeah. I think it goes down in season, especially, as you mentioned, with Poeltl in tow. Not to mention, too, if, you know, they do have Rodavis Bertans. They brought him back. Yep. If they need him to stretch the floor out. Look, you know, Pau Gasol, you know, is he serviceable? Yes. You know, is he a veteran presence on a very young team, or a, you know, a fast getting younger team, so to speak? Yeah, that's valuable. And not to mention, they give him a very hefty contract. They're going to want to play him. But, you know, look, he is one of the better three-point shooters for San Antonio. Yeah, the numbers are there. He is one of the better ones, so he can stretch that floor. There's something to say about championship and battle-tested metal that he brings on the court. But in this day and age of the NBA, and especially at that position where players are just so versatile, you know, so swifter, quicker, you know, Pau Gasol is a relic of a time where the NBA big was in his fashion. That's not there anymore. So expect his numbers to be decent. I mean, nothing bad. And his minutes on the court will probably plummet a bit for the likes of a younger team. Look, the Popovich and the Spurs, the coach, they're signaling to everybody. They're going younger. And they got themselves two young kids on the roster right now, Bertans and Poeltl. Expect them to go that direction with Pau Gasol playing some minutes from time to time.
What do you think the chances are of Poeltl, much like DeJounte Murray last season supplanting Tony Parker, what do you think the chances are of Poeltl at some point being installed as the full-time starter this season?
I think it's, I would say 60%. Simply because I can see Popovich resting Pau Gasol quite a bit next season. Having a day off here, especially in that brutal, you know, road trip. Poeltl, again, you know, he's a big kid. He has a lot of upside. He has a motor on him. He's younger at that position. Pau Gasol isn't that. You know, his time has come and gone. I can see it much in the same vein of the way Parker gave way to Murray. I can see Pau Gasol getting the start to begin the season, and maybe the early months into the regular season, a change come around, and Pau Gasol graciously bows to Poeltl to get him time on the court to develop and become a quality big the Spurs need. So it could play out that way, Josh.
That's how I think it's going to play out. I think we're going to see a stage later in the season where Poeltl's getting 24 minutes a night. Look, even last season in Toronto when he was getting 20 minutes a night, he had fantasy value because he'd come in, he'd shoot 66%, he'd get 2 blocks per night, 1.5 blocks, he'd get steals, and he'd get rebounds. And if your league includes offensive rebounds, he's one of the best offensive rebounders in the entire game. I believe he had 10 offensive rebounds in one game against the Warriors earlier in the season. He can do all of that. Blocks, field goal percentage, okay steals, strong rebounding numbers, and he heads into his third season, another year when plenty of players take a step forward. He's got that opportunity, much like I spoke about Wendell Carter in the Bulls preview, a guy that's going to have probably lower minutes earlier in the season and push up a little bit higher later in the year. I think he's a good value play. His ESPN rank is 222, the old Richie Beno. So he could really jump up and be a top 150 guy, and I wouldn't have any issue taking him with the last pick. And let's see what happens. We don't know at this point what the Spurs are going to do. We don't know how they're going to line up. We don't know what the minutes are going to be. We could see 20 minutes from Pau Gasol from day one, and Poeltl's getting 23 off the bench. That could easily be the way that they run things. There's Joffrey Laverne's gone. There is no other backup center unless they're going to be doing Aldridge or Bertans there. But as we've talked about, there's no other three to push up to play small ball, really. So it is going to be a struggle in that area. So he's going to be in line for a solid every night rotation spot with a real chance to push forward. And I'm pretty excited to see exactly what he can do in this situation. So I think him and Rudy Gay are two of the biggest steal type options. DeJounte Murray, also a great value fantasy guy. And I've already talked about DeMar DeRozan, me looking at him as being a bust type guy with the expectation of him being a third round player. I think he may struggle to get to that level. There are a couple of players we haven't touched on yet. Jeff, Manu, look, he's not going to be too much of an impact guy. We don't know if he's actually returning. But Patty Mills, a player who started a ton of games last season, I wouldn't say he had the best season, but I would assume that his role is going to decrease this year as well.
Yeah, and look, this all depends on whether or not he says he's good to go, which reportedly should come any minute this week. It could be happening right now, Josh, and we don't even know.
That's Manu talking about here.
Yeah, exactly. And Manu Ginobili, look, if he does come back, again, a numbers thing. DeMar DeRozan is obviously going to get the nod over him. We get that. Yep. He's been a six man all his career. So, yeah, okay, we're going to put that on the shelf. Then there's Marco Bellinelli, who, in my opinion, I thought he had a pretty quality season last year coming off the bench, especially for Philly and in the postseason for the 76ers. Then there's Derek White. They're obviously going to let him show that he can play at the level
Can Derek White play at the two?
Yeah, he can.
Yeah, I think he can. He's 6'6", isn't he?
Yeah. He's 6'6", yeah. He's a big guard. Yeah, he's definitely okay. Now that's not his preferred position. He's definitely a point guard, but he can play that spot. Then there's Bryn Forbes. I've talked to Bryn Forbes in past seasons. I think last year as well. And one thing he's always told me, he goes like, when I was in Austin, one thing they drilled into my head was I got to become more of a point guard. But he's naturally a two guard, and
he's not a point guard.
He's not a point guard, but the Spurs want him to become, at least according to him and what he's told me in my chats with him, that they want him to be that point guard. And he's not going to do that. And I think Popovich has just got to sometimes break out of that mold that he admits himself, mistakes that he's done trying to force players into being players or not. LaMarcus Aldridge, Manu Ginobili are the big ones that he openly admitted he kind of goofed up with in their development. So I think, again, so you got Bryn Forbes there, you got White, you got DeMar. We kind of push aside Lonnie. We know he's likely not going to get too much run. Then there's Manu. Look, Manu Ginobili, if he does come back, I predict might be his farewell season.
Surely.
I don't see him going beyond next season. He's under contract for next season, but I think he's going to honor that and then sail off into retirement. I see him getting limited minutes. I see his minutes dipping a bit. They don't have to rely on him as so much as they did last year because of the Kawhi Leonard situation and him out of action for most part of the season. Basically, Manu was their second go-to guy on the offensive end, and that's just crazy. With Rudy Gay getting banged up and out for a significant amount of time, they had to rely on Manu Ginobili so much, and he brought it, and he proved it. Kyrie Irving glowed about him. Patty Mills was just in awe. The old man still can play, but do you want Manu Ginobili to be giving you his blood, sweat, and tears, and him having to be the relied upon guy to bring you offense? No, you don't want to be in that situation for San Antonio. You want Manu Ginobili to come off the bench and provide stability, a calming presence, and yeah, the occasional Manu-esque games. But expect his numbers to go down. Expect his minutes to go down a bit. Again, much like Tony Parker saw his minutes go down in his final season in San Antonio.
Last question for you here, Jeff, for guys, especially in dynasty-type formats. Who do you think is the better prospect, Derek White or Lonnie Walker?
That's a tough question, simply because of their positions.
Walker's position is more of a need across the NBA. There's no doubt about that. Yeah, wings. Not that he's a good defender, but wings. It's a more unique position.
And we've seen what Derek can do on the G League level. We haven't seen anything what Lonnie can do.
Yep.
But as far as who's a better prospect, obviously I'm going to go with Derek White just because he's proven something, whether it be in Vegas at the Summer League, Utah Summer League, and G League, and in limited time on the court for San Antonio last year. Lonnie, I like Lonnie. I like him a lot. I see he has crazy upside. The NBA.com recently released a rookie survey, and he dotted many categories.
Can I just quickly talk about that for a sec, Jeff?
Go ahead.
That rookie survey. NBA rookies continue to prove that they are the least valuable judge of any type of number at all time. They put out the player most likely to have the best NBA career, and they chose Wendell Carter. He won, which is fine. Now, Wendell Carter could be. The second option was Jerome Robinson, and Luka Doncic didn't get a single vote. I got no idea what these guys are watching. They also voted Chris Dunn to be the likely rookie of the year in his rookie season. They voted Jahlil Okafor to have the best career out of all rookies. I don't know what they're watching. I don't know what they're valuing, but rookies and NBA players in particular, they are terrible judges of talent a lot of the time.
Yeah, and look, it's a fun survey. it's something to fill the off season. It gets NBA.com some hits. I'm a sucker for it. I love just seeing what the kids are doing nowadays or thinking nowadays. But nevertheless, you have Lonnie, who's again gonna have to really prove himself. And the buzz around the Barclays Center that night, in the media pit, as I like to call it. I don't know if you've ever been to an NBA draft. Josh?
I haven't been to the draft yet. No.
Oh, it's just think of a pit, like a mosh pit.
Okay,
and well. that's where they put all the media, in this big mosh pit full of tables in the base of the arena floor. But the buzz around there was simply, oh, Spurs got to steal, Spurs got to steal. But Josh, I've heard that time and time and time again, season after season. And James Anderson was a big coup for the Spurs. What happened to him?
Exactly.
Dewan Blair was, oh, the steal of the century for San Antonio, and he didn't really pan out. So I have to take a wait-and-see approach with Lonnie. Derek White, I think he has a better prospect, especially in this day and age of the NBA. You know, the position, he's interchangeable. He can play the point guard spot. He can play the shooting off guard spot. You know, he can score in buckets. He can knock down the three-point shot, again, based on what we saw in the G League. And what we saw in NBA time, it's very promising. It's very eye-opening. He can get to the rim. This kid is on a mission. And I think he's going to open up some eyes next season once the ball goes up in the air and the regular season tips off.
Yeah, pretty excited to see what Derek White can do. He looked way too good for Summer League. It's going to be interesting. Jeff,
he did.
What have you got happening over on Locked On Spurs at the moment?
Well, we're still churning along. Just because it is the offseason does not mean Spurs news stops. Seriously, I don't know where people think that the NBA takes a break. It doesn't go anywhere. It's consistent there. We recently had a few fun pieces from Marco Bellinelli just on a mission right now. I don't know if you've seen it, but he is sharing some crazy videos right now on his social media, and he's just looking like Marco of old. You got DeJounte Murray, as we mentioned, showing off his off-season workout. And believe it or not, Josh, I actually found photographic proof that Popovich does smile. He does. He does smile, and you can see that all over at the Spurs Zone at newsforsanantonio.com. And, of course, as Josh mentioned, I am also his colleague over at the Locked On NBA Network, specifically the Locked On Spurs show. It's kind of quiet right now. Josh knows why. It is the offseason as far as top is to talk about. But, you know, hey, you know, we'll try to give you one or two throughout the week. So definitely go to Locked On Spurs. You can find us at LockedOnSpurs.com, iTunes, Stitcher, all that good stuff that Josh always tells you about. To find his show, you can find it at the same spots, Locked On Spurs. You can follow me on Twitter at Jeff G Spurs Zone.
Go and follow Jeff there. And Jeff, that was a great segue. Let's go to Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, and you can also find this show on YouTube. Go subscribe, give a 5-star rating, give a thumbs up, leave a comment. You can hit us both up and let us know your thoughts on our shows. Jeff, thank you once again for the third season in a row in coming on to Locked On Fantasy Basketball to preview the San Antonio Spurs.
Thank you very much, Josh, and I'll talk to you soon.
Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.